Hello and welcome to the Stories Mania podcast. Now I'm trying out with a new microphone, as some of you may have noticed. So if you want to, feel free to comment on this microphone if it's better or worse than the last one of the podcast thread in the Little Cafe. Our piece today is by MC Lioness, Higher Census. Higher Census. The colonists' headquarters on the new planet was literally brimming over with activity. The small structure did not have enough room for all the search party's discoveries at once, so plastic crates, collecting jars, and people were scattered across the slippery lawn of shorn vegetable outside. Inside, the work was slow, each species needing to be described in detail, sorted for possible use to preserve. The work had already been going on for days, and there was no end in sight. The area which the colony was setting up was extremely biodiverse, and the species were, for the most part, easily collected. Late in the afternoon, one of the preliminary sorters looked up from her papers and grimaced at the newest orgasm, which had been halted with some difficulty by its collector, a slim woman with short brown hair and a businesslike expression. The creature was in a sturdy clay that was difficult to characterize. It was hairless brown skin with a textured surface, like scaly tree bark, and no eyes. The head was half sphere, perched upon its side of its neck, sorting a bowl-shaped indentation for what the sorter assumed was a face. The edges of the bowl face had a fringe of feathery-looking, waving appendages that made the head look like a large, ugly, unanimated flower. The face was featureless, concave, and looked slightly moist. The organism looked agitated, but then most of the animals brought into the sorting area and some of the plants expressed a degree of dissatisfaction with their captive status. The spindly single leg of the creature supported the spherical body with what looked like a miracle of balance. The crate was too small to allow movement on the six articulated feet, which branched from the leg about half a meter from the floor and were now twitching nervously. The crate, being a meter and a half tall, was just large enough to accommodate the creature's size, given the single leg that it bent and the head was tucked down almost under the body. With net extended, the creature might easily top 2.5 meters. Ugh, the sorter commanded. Yep, the collector replied briskly. I found it down by what they're calling the river, sucking on some one of that goo plant. You can't see it now, but it has some sort of extendable mouth parts in a pouch behind that fringe. Easiest catch since I got here. Didn't even move when I dropped the cage on it. You seen anything like it yet? With the weight I've had to be second in. The sorter looked up for the creature. Yeah, sorry about the line. Some idiot forgot to latch the kid's cage and we had one of those clicking birds flying around for an hour. He paused, shaking his head. Nope, nothing quite like this. We've had some other one-leggers, but a lot smaller one, more handsome than this guy. Any others where you collected this one? Nah, apparently it's a solitary, or they all are. It doesn't appear to react to sound, and I haven't noticed any visual apparatus or looking behavior, so it's probably not sighted either. It certainly didn't see or hear me coming, and I wasn't exactly being sneaky. I almost stumbled on it before I saw it, in fact. Besides, floods right in the river, if you can call that chunky mud path the river. Like most of the colonists, the woman was less than too enthusiastic about the company selected site for the settlement. All right, the sorter said, as he made notes on his elect pad. Any signs of sentience? The collector looked doubtfully down at her cramped captive. Though that I could see, and we too have been handling one out all day. It doesn't seem to be capable of making sounds, much less verbalizing, and there's not much to gesture with either, except maybe those toes, but I haven't discovered any pattern to the twitching, and it's continuous. I've been paying attention to thoughts, but they're all mine, as far as I can tell. The only thing it reacted to is when they brought in that dead upright snake. I thought it would hurt itself trying to burst out of the cage. The upright snake would be classified as a predator, right? Could probably smell the thing, and that looks like a pretty sensitive olfactory setup. She gestured to the scooped out face. Half the animals in the yard were reacting in one way or another when they halted, so that's nothing special. The sorter made another snort that said, "Well, we tried it and tested it. Some of the other one-leggers were edible. If this one is, this is tame as you said, it'd be a good candidate for domestication. God knows we need to find something to eat on this slimy rock." The collector snorted. "Yeah, the ship's rations taste like dust, but they're better than most of the supposedly edible stuff they found around here. Good luck with the rest of this lot. I'm off to see what else I can find before the sun goes down behind the veg." She shouldered her pack. "Can you make sure that my name gets on the report to Amin? I'm not like someone else claiming the credit for this catch." "Sure," I rolled. "It's Kramer, right?" "Julie Kramer. Yep, thanks." She was so miserable she thought she might just die. She longed to catch scent of her mate or siblings, but there was only this unending stench. What had happened? She had been eating by the mud brook, waiting for her mate to return, when a powerful new smell struck her. It was like nothing she knew and conveyed no information, so she froze, afraid and almost overwhelmed by the strong odor. She could feel the vibrations as something approached, but she could not identify what it was. She had hoped, whatever this new menace was, that like the deadly one, it would not detect her if she stayed so perfectly still. She had been abruptly trapped in something unyielding, and had spent hours in the heat and bewildering scents, until she was so exhausted she could barely think. Her neck was cramped from the restrictive enclosure. She had tried to communicate with the ground-shaking creatures around her, trying combination after combination of scents in the hopes they would recognize and respond, but they didn't even seem to understand language. She admitted strongly at times, desperately trying to contact her mate, her relatives, anyone, but no one responded. If she could have detected them through the miasma. She was able to scent mainly familiar animals of the cool and of the heat, but they all smelled of fear. Once she detected the deadly one, and it was a smell of death. She panicked then, trying vainly to escape for whatever could and would kill a deadly. One must be both powerful and merciless. She was perfectly still once again, still trapped, her mind numbed with the endless exposure to the vibrations and meaningless stench. She was in the cool again, but she could detect nothing familiar besides the lingering fear of other creatures and the ground shakers. No food stalks, no mud, none of her kind. So she just wanted to be free of this trap, to detect her mate coming, to twine necks with him and breathe in his comforting scents. She felt a ground shaker coming toward her again, and twisted her now agonizedly stiffened neck to face it, though she knew it would offer no information. After a moment, she jumped as a sharp pain touched her and a burning caroused throughout her body. She became weak and she felt death approaching. She made it one last time as powerfully as she could, a plea for help. As her awareness faded, she realized with despair that her message was tainted beyond the recognizable by whatever burned inside of her. Then, all ability left her as she slipped into death. Uh-oh. The trainee stepped back from the cage, syringe in hand. The odor that was coming off of the creature was acrid and faintly medicinal, but he had bigger concerns than the smell. He looked carefully at the creature for signs of respiration. From its stoof neck to its solidly upright leg, nothing twitched or moved in the least. Dr. Carey? The tall, white jumpsuited figure straightened from a task and strode across the small room. "What's the problem, Mr. Sword?" "I think it died, sir, the trainee said uncertainly. The biologist peered at the figure within the cage for a moment, then nodded. "Well, must have been the wrong dose. Maybe the wrong anesthetic altogether. Let me see that syringe." The trainee handed over the cape syringe. "Do we have another one of these?" he asked, thinking of a reaction he'd get from the colony planners if he killed the early specimen. Mr. Sword, the tall man said with a grave intonation. "Perhaps you should inquire with the sorters when you have finished writing an incident report on why this animal received a dose intended for Avifronia, not the ground dwellers." The younger man looked stricken. He thought he had checked the label well enough. He reached out for the syringe to check once more, though he could hardly doubt the man in charge of the entire species sampling operation. Then he saw the grin on the biologist's lean face. "Take it easy, Mr. Sword. It's the correct dose. It's good that you are so concerned about the quality of your work, as I clearly saw in your reaction." He handed the syringe back. "No, this creature simply couldn't handle the level dosage we thought it could. It seems to be quite sensitive to this chemical composition. Atreides half smiled in relief. What should I do with them now? Take the usual samples and send them off to the lab, of course. We still need to know if it's edible or medicinal, even if we don't yet know how to make it sleep successfully. The doctor shrugged. After that, make a note about its death and send it to the preservers. That's what we're doing with most of them anyhow. We can't keep them all in living form. The doctor had said the last over his shoulder and he walked back to the work table. The trainee made ready to take samples, but noticed excited shouts from outside the building. He walked to the door curiously. One of the other trainees had opened it in hopes of clearing out the throat-catching smell of the dead creature. What he saw was incredible. A creature of the sort that had just died was trundling up the slope behind the building, six spiky feet finding purchase on the slick hillside. It seemed oddly intent on reaching the building, and either couldn't hear or disregarded the shouts of the collectors readying crates for capture. "Easiest find of the day," one called. Once the creature reached the top of the slope, where human feet could manage, the capture was anticlimactic. The humans had a clear advantage over the slow, seemingly blind creature, which continued steadily toward the building until a net was thrown over it. Dr. Carey had come up to the doorway as well. "Looks like you don't have to worry about that one who died," he said cheerfully. "This one just delivered itself a replacement, it seems." He was paralyzed by fear and despair. He had been forced to the ground by an unexpected weight, and there was a mind-grinding confusion of sets. The ground shook with movement. The worst, though, was the realization that his mate was dead, irrevocably gone. He hadn't wanted to believe it after he had deducted her distorted signal for help, but after getting so close to the source, there could be no mistake. He did not even try to lever his body against the oppressive restraint, but instead lay in mental anguish, emanating the last odor of grief. That was Higher Senses by Epsi Lioness. For more stories by this author and more, visit storiesmania.net.